Hey, group leaders, Pastor McKinney here. Welcome to week two of our fall semester of growth groups, the place where friends help friends follow Jesus. Again, this podcast is in order to equip you guys, to give you just a little bit of an edge as you enter into your groups this week for gathering into community. This week, we are in week three of the sermon series, but officially it's week two of growth groups since things were postponed. But I understand that some of you guys did meet at the beginning of the first week, which is great. So first thing I want to do is give you guys a couple of announcements, and these are on the actual sermon discussion guide. And so you guys can read these to your groups. This is another way to reinforce things that are coming up, that are updates for the church. The first is this week is worship and prayer. Last Wednesday of every month is worship and prayer at 7:30 p.m. And typically what we do is we take, rather than all the groups meeting in their normal locations throughout the week, they will meet together at worship and prayer in the church building. But since we postponed the first week of groups, I still want to encourage you guys to continue to meet this week. And if you do have a meeting on Wednesday, it's totally fine if you basically skip Wednesday prayer and meet together as a group. If you guys really feel like it'd be helpful for you to continue to develop your community. But if you really feel like you'd like to come to prayer, which I would still encourage that as well, you guys can come together as a group and pray with us as a church. So this Wednesday, September 30th, 7:30 p.m. is our next worship and prayer at the church building. Number two is Bergen Kids, all ages. This Sunday, October 1st, all ages will be permitted into the worship gathering. That is ages 0 all the way up through 100. And maybe there's some people out there who are over 100, but I highly doubt it. You guys can come to the worship service on October 1st this Sunday. Furthermore, there's going to be a modified Bergen Kids programming from pre-K all the way through third grade in two of the classrooms. And in addition to that, the Cry Room and the Bergen Beyond Room and two of the other Bergen Kids room classrooms will be available for Sunday streaming for parents, for just a few families, between three and five or four families will be available to go back in the Bergen Kids rooms to hang out there while you're also watching the service on the TV. The third is the member gathering. This is very important. Our biannual member gathering will be held Sunday, October 25th from 4 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. It's just going to be one gathering together as a church, and registration will be open and available this following Monday, because we've got over 200 people who are a part of our membership role. So we're going to be having all the different rooms, Bergen Kids rooms, available for streaming in the service at the building itself. No childcare or food will be available. That's why we're holding it 5:30 p.m. because we figured you guys could go home, eat lunch, come here to the member gathering, and go home and eat dinner. So that's kind of the idea of the 4 to 5:30 time frame there. It's a very important meeting, as we're going to be updating you guys on just how far we've come as a church, especially in light of recent events at the beginning of September. Just give you guys an update on where the elders are at, how the staff is doing, how things are going to be moving forward, and how we have been processing everything going on with the recent statement that was read a couple weeks ago at the beginning of our sermon series. And I'm sure you guys will try to answer a lot of questions that you guys might have, and we hope this will be a great opportunity for us to close a chapter that we just came out of and enter into a new one, moving forward and looking forward to what God will do through us as a church together. Well, those are the announcements, and you guys can read those and reiterate them and reinforce them in your groups this week. I also want to take an opportunity during these podcasts to recap this sermon. This past week, we were blessed and supremely encouraged by Pastor Peter Ochoa, who preached from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 3 through 16. And the main point that he focused on was this. The title of the sermon was A Return to the Word of the Lord. What he focused on was this phrase that Paul used in this passage that said, you received the word not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God. So Paul the Apostle came into Thessalonica and he preached the gospel, he preached the scriptures to these people, and they did not receive his words as the words of men, but as what they really are, the word of God. And so what Pastor Peter focused on was, how do we know when we are receiving the Bible as the word of men versus the word of God? And so what he did was, which is, I was very impressed with, I did not see this coming, is he used chapter 1, verse 5, which I preached a couple weeks ago in our first week, which talks about how Paul said, we preach the gospel to you, and we preach to you not only in word, you received it not only the word of the gospel, but it came in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. So Pastor Peter took that verse and said that those three categories, power, Holy Spirit, full conviction, those are the three indicators, the tests, you might say, of how you know whether or not you're receiving the gospel and the Bible as the word of man versus the word of God. And so the first one was power, and Pastor Peter used that really awesome illustration with rubies, with the African ruby. I heard a lot of people really enjoyed that. And that when you come to realize what exactly you have in your hands, like when you come to discover you have a $50 million African ruby, and how your heart gets excited. Similarly, when you come to realize what you're really holding in the Bible and in the gospel, your heart feels the power of what you are possessing in the scriptures. And so that's the first thing, is have a sense of the power of the word of God. Number two is the Holy Spirit. And this was great. Pastor Peter talked about what the Holy Spirit's role is in the gospel and in the scripture, and how the Holy Spirit's role is to direct our hearts to Jesus Christ. And so if you are reading the Bible and listening to preaching and listening to the gospel, and your heart is not supremely provoked with great love toward Jesus, then you're probably receiving the Bible, the gospel, and sermons as the word of men. If there's a focus upon you and about yourself, and you're reading the Bible looking for yourself and how it can bless you, that's not the goal. The goal is to see Jesus, and that is what the Holy Spirit does. And the last but not least, it was full conviction. And this is great. Pastor Peter used the illustration of how he used to read the book of Proverbs, right? And how it used to hurt his heart because it was very convicting. And so he ran away from the book of Proverbs and chose to listen to read another book that he preferred to listen to. And how a lot of times we can pick and choose scriptures that make us feel good, as opposed to the ones that really challenge us and press upon us. And so that's how we know if we're receiving the Bible and the gospel and preaching as if it's the word of God and not the word of men, is if we are taking the entirety of it. We're not picking and choosing or filtering out parts we don't like. We're receiving all of it and letting it have its full effect upon us. Well, that was kind of the recap of it, and how we are being, Pastor Peter just encouraged us as a church to return to the word of the Lord, coming back to the word of God, receiving it as the word of God, not as the word of men, and letting it have power and the Holy Spirit's impact, and having full conviction in our lives. One of my favorite quotes from the sermon is, "A church that hides from sin is a dying church." Well, let's briefly walk through some of these questions here. So we just talked about announcements and the recap of the sermon. And last but not least, here are some of the questions that I have written up for you guys, as always. Well, let me just right here. If you look on the discussion guide, it says focus. And then anytime I have that there, that just means I'm just reiterating or emphasizing something that you should be pressing hard upon in your group. So the first focus, the most important thing you want to focus on in the first month of your growth group semester, is developing relationships with your people. So spend a lot of time getting to know each other and just hanging out and getting comfortable with one another. Growth groups are the place where friends help friends follow Jesus. If you don't develop your friendships, you can't really trust each other or feel a sense of camaraderie in your following of Jesus Christ. So be sure to take time getting to know each other, and even doing the icebreakers, which I have here at the first thing. I didn't have an icebreaker question here for you, but what I do, if you go to that link on the right there, www.churchofbergen.org/group-leader-resources. You can just copy and paste that, or you can just go online, click on the growth group tab, and there is a leader resource page that you can click on. Anyway, there's a link there. It's called 75 Icebreaker Questions for Small Groups. Each week, just go to that link and you can find a ton of different icebreaker questions you could use for your group. Choose one, two, three for your group. Just go around the group and have a good time doing those. Those are really important just to help helping people relax. Second question, was there anything that really stood out to you in this past week's sermon? What was it? Why did that particular aspect impress itself upon you? Again, this is just a very vague, general question that a lot of people can answer. It's not very specific. And that just gets people their talking muscles, you might say, going, so you guys can get comfortable moving forward. Question number three, the main point of the sermon was about how to know if you received the gospel and the Bible as the word of men or the word of God. The first indication was that it affects you powerfully. Pastor Peter used the ruby illustration to explain the power of the word. How did the illustration help clarify or challenge you in your personal relationship with the Bible? This, a lot of people mentioned this illustration because it was great. It was very helpful, very clear. Anytime that happens, it's good to ask questions like this because it forces people to think through why it was so helpful and even press it to its fullest extent. How does that challenge you? How does that change you? How does that encourage you towards a particular direction? So give people time to think through the fullness of how that illustration was helpful in fleshing out what it means for us to receive the Bible as the word of God and not the word of men. Question number four. The second way to know if you receive the Bible as the word of God and not the word of men is if the Holy Spirit is working in you. Read John 16:13-14 and identify the two things the Spirit does. How do you think these two operations of the Spirit relate to us receiving the Bible as God's word and not man's word? If you just read John 16:13-14, the two operations you can see for yourself are that the Spirit guides you into all truth and the Spirit glorifies Jesus Christ. And so if the Holy Spirit is working in you and you're reading the scriptures or you're listening to the gospel preached or the preaching of the word of God, and the Holy Spirit's working in you, then he's going to guide you into truth to love it, embrace it, trust it, cherish it, and then also glorify Jesus in your heart. That is, draw your heart to Jesus Christ. So those are the two ways that what Jesus says in John 16:13-14. But give people time to read that and actually see it for themselves, and don't feel like you have to be some theologian or great Bible explainer. Just give people time to think and process. Remember, anytime you ask questions, you don't have to jump in and fill in the awkward space and the awkward silence. Just give people time to think and give people permission to think and process the questions that are being asked. Question number five, the final way to know if you receive the Bible as the word of God and not the word of men is if it results in full conviction. Pastor Peter told the story of how he used to stop reading Proverbs because it convicted him of so much. A lot of times we can ignore certain parts of the Bible because they expose and convict us of our sins. In what way have you personally found yourself drifting from parts of Scripture? How can we grow in our belief that conviction of sin is not God's opposition to us, but his mercy toward us? This question just encourages you to think through times when you also, as Peter was saying, have been tempted to drift away from the more difficult parts of Scripture. What are we doing there? Why are we doing that? What are the negative consequences of that? And how can we grow as a group? Ask your group, how can we grow as a group in realizing that conviction of sin is not like God's anger and opposition, him being against us? It's his mercy toward us, because what he's doing is he's pressing on an area of sin and he wants us to confess it and repent, that we might find freedom and cleansing. And right, 1 John chapter 1 talks about if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a great thing to be cleansed of our sins. And if we are not letting the conviction of sin have its full effect, we cannot experience the mercy of God in cleansing us from our sins. So give people time to process some of that together as a group. Number six, it was said in the sermon, quote, a church that hides from sin is a dying church. Why do you think this is? How is this not bad news, but actually good news for us? That is, why is it good news to focus upon sin? Not make everything about sin, but to not hide from it, to preach against it, and to call it what it is. Why is that actually good news for us? Let people in your group think through, what is it? What are all the good effects of a church that names, that calls sin, sin, and not hide from it? Why would hiding, a church hiding from sin, result in it dying? Why do you think this is as a group? Here are some things that you could possibly mention after having some discussion with your group. After a while, you might mention how hiding from sin lets sin grow. And so there's what happened is there can be a lot of dishonesty and deception happening in the church, and people do not bring that to light. And so what that does is it creates a sense of self-protection amongst one another. If we don't preach against sin, then we don't know what the cleansing power of Jesus' blood can wash away in our lives. And what it also does, if we hide from sin, then we're not going to be, then it's going to be an extremely comfortable place for everyone to walk in. And people might think that they're Christians when they're really not. And so the whole point of doing that is that people understand what their sin is and they would come to Jesus to be forgiven and cleansed from it. And that's the only way that a church can thrive. Last question, Paul the Apostle says at the end of verse 13, the word of God, which is at work in you. What might it look like for us as a group for the word of God to be at work in each of us? What is that? What do you think that looks like for you as a group to let the word of God be at work in you? You might encourage people in your group to read the context, and it talks about how, for you became imitators of us and the rest of the churches, and you were willing to suffer. What might be the relationship of the word of God being at work in you and our ability to and freedom to imitate one another in following Jesus and being willing to suffer with joy and faith in Jesus Christ? But that's more of a practical question, is thinking through, what does it look like for you guys as a church, as a group, to let the word of God be at work in you? Spend some time at the end and prayer, the very thing at the bottom of the page there, praying for those three indicators of a group of people who receive the Bible as the word of God, not the word of man. Power, Holy Spirit, full conviction. Pray for those three things to be working and alive in you as a group. And also in our church, pray that we would be a church that returns to the word of the Lord. So love you guys, praying for you. If you have any questions or concerns or prayer requests, please reach out to your advocates, and you guys can see who your advocates are on your Lead app. If you do not know what the Lead app is or have not had that uploaded on your phone, please connect with myself or your advocate, and they can get you all connected and up and running there. Love you guys. Have a great week.